Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, let's be real about something. As we get older, get kids, pets, multiple jobs, it becomes harder and harder to find the right time to connect to your partner. But when you do get that sliver of a moment, you need to be ready. That's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it works. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, best of all, no more awkwardness. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use our special promo code ARMCHAIR. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code ARMCHAIR to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. You are listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. For more on your Pelicans, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today. Episode of the Bird Calls podcast. I am your host and contributor to thebirdrights.com, Preston Ellis. We are back. We have basketball, albeit at a dismaying performance in overtime. However, the Pelicans did give us a lot to be positive about. We are back with our whole crew. Kevin's going to join us in a moment. But first, our editor-in-chief, Ali Cosell. Ali, how you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good. That was fun. Disappointing we didn't get the finish we wanted. But hey, we can see the new era, and it didn't even include Zion.
Fair enough. David Grubb, I know you're a bit disappointed. There were a lot of rotational questions. We're going to get to that. But just on a whole, how does it feel? Basketball's back. The Pelicans have some stuff to be excited about. How did it feel to watch your first NBA minutes?
I thought there was a lot of encouraging things to see tonight. I feel bad anytime you have a chance to win and you don't. But I think, most of the things you walk away with tonight are positive. About the team and especially the younger players. I thought you saw some very good flashes. It's going to have to be more consistent.
All right, Ali, let's go ahead and dive right on in. Most of our questions so far, and most of what the national media was asking late in the fourth quarter is, where is Lonzo Ball? We're going to talk about some of these rotations. We're going to start with Lonzo Ball and Derek Favors. These guys didn't get a lot of minutes in the fourth quarter. I don't think Derek Favors played a minute in the fourth quarter. Nikola Melnyk was hot. I think he was 4 of 4 from three. He and Josh Hart both combined to be 7 of 10 from three-point range. However, both these guys that made such an instrumental difference in the fourth did not get to play. Well, Nikola Melnyk started in the overtime, got pulled. The two of them weren't reinserted until there was 1 minute and 30 seconds left in overtime. What did you think of the rotations in overtime, Ollie?
Even before that for me in the fourth quarter, where I feel like they should have won that game in regulation, right? They went on a 10-0 run. They were sitting up by, what was it? They were ahead by 6 points. I forget how much time was left, but it was like 109, 103. And they come out of a timeout, and then, Toronto makes a 7-0 run, take the lead, and, they struggle after that. But in overtime, if you're going to put Lonzo Ball out there, and I said this to the group, then you got to have him running and initiating the offense. It does no good to get a guy who's been sitting on the bench for the entire fourth quarter, hasn't played much in the second half, just running around out there, I guess, being a spot-up shooter at best. And we saw he didn't even come close to hitting the three I saw him shoot. And then, of course, Derek Favors, I love the guy. I'm so happy that the Pelicans grabbed him, but he hasn't looked good all preseason. So I don't understand why you put him out there in overtime either. So running with the starters, I did not like it to finish that game. What do you think, David?
It wasn't that they went with the starters. It's just that when you put them in, I didn't understand why you would take those guys as cold as they were and put them in.
Right.
Yeah, it's just misuse of the starters more than anything. It wasn't the guys other than Favors. And I think people are going to go away with this impression from this game that Derek Favors is a garbage basketball player. And that's just not true. But you can clearly see he's been compromised physically the entire preseason. And the Pelicans are very thin in the front court. And so if he can play, they're putting him out there. And unfortunately, you don't have many guys that you can turn to on the bench and say, go rebound or protect the rim. Who's going to do that? And so I think Alvin feels like he's got to play him, but there are no good options to, when you don't, as far as that particular skill set. So I think that hurts the Pelicans. You saw it tonight. They played against a team that shot 40%, and they just could not secure enough rebounds.
Now we welcome on Kevin Berrios. Of course, we're talking about overtime. We're talking about rotations, the two most popular storylines. David Grubb was just mentioning the Pelicans were thin in the front court. However, Jahlil Okafor played just 12 minutes. Nicola Melli just 20 minutes. Derek Favors just 21 minutes. A lot of minutes still to go around to guys like Nicola Melli, who in overtime, I think, played two or three of those minutes. So up until that point, had only played 17 or 18 minutes. Kevin, could you have used a lot more Jahlil Okafor and Nicola Melli in this game? Or do you kind of have to let Derek Favors work off this rust?
Well, I think, you know, we talked about it. I think I caught David talking about it at the tail end, is that, you know, I think we all still believe in Favors. It's just he's clearly battling that hamstring injury still. And, you know, with Zion down, that's one of the things we were worried about, is, you know, the bigs is where we're very, very thin. So I think they have to use them, but I think they have to use them in short spurts. Don't leave them out there very long. Don't play them in crunch time, especially when, you know, Melly was very hot, very effective out there, and Josh Hart was very effective out there, and he wasn't in there for a lot of, you know, crucial time, a long period of time. He wasn't out there towards the end of the game, which I thought was frustrating. With as well as he was playing, he was giving you everything, rebounding, he was defending incredibly well, he was driving, and then, you know, his shot was falling. So I think they got to figure a way to structure lineups that mitigate not having Favors out there. You know, you got to have other guys that can rebound, like Hart and Williams out there. So to play along with Melly or, you know, Jahlil Okafor, however that's going to go. But yeah, I think right now Favors shouldn't have been there in the closing minutes, especially when you had, you know, Melly, who was so hot and was going to open up lanes for Holiday and for other players to be able to put pressure on Toronto, especially with Siakam out.
Ali, let's go ahead and jump to Brandon Ingram. Obviously, we talked about playing Brandon Ingram at the power forward. What's going on over there?
Ugh, sorry.
Is that you? Okay. Well, idiot. We're going to continue. Ollie, it's too late for me to edit this. So, listeners, you're welcome. Ali, we put Brandon Ingram at the four for much of the contest. This is something you advised against in our chat. I was a proponent of it, but Pascal Siakam, obviously 34 points, 18 rebounds, just bullied him all night long, just getting past him, getting to the basket at will. Serge Ibaka was another large part of that. Is Brandon Ingram a fixture at the four in your mind, Ali, or do the Pelicans have to experiment with moving him back to the three?
You know, I think you've got to stick with him at the four. When you look at this lineup and you're now missing Zion, and you've got just a wealth of guard options, you know, guys 6'5" or shorter, 6'6" if you include Nikhil, you've got to almost run with Ingram as much as you can at power forward. Yeah, I thought Siakam kind of had, you know, his way with him. But there was moments where I saw Ingram actually give him trouble with his length. And honestly, Brandon missed a few extra shots that he should have made around Siakam, you know. I look more like, just if anything, just not playing for a long time, just getting back in the swing of things. And of course, towards the end, he left a couple short, you know, that was crucial time, willing time for the Pelicans. Both jumpers from the mid range came up short. So, you know, I like what I saw from him in general. But you're right, you got to get some rebounding from somewhere. And thankfully, they got it out of Josh Hart. But if you're not going to get it from Ingram at the four, that's where it makes it really problematic playing Melly at the five, right? So I feel like if you're going to go with Ingram Fort, you've got to have either Ja or hopefully Favors is healthy. If you want Melly out there, then you really can't roll with Ingram at the four. So I think that's what it comes down to. It's just rotations. And I think we saw that tonight with Alvin. He was playing with those a lot. I mean, he played, what was it, 12 guys in the first half alone. And then he was searching for the right combination down the stretch. He thought he found it in the fourth quarter, where we were all shocked to see Frank was out there with the guys pretty much for that entire fourth quarter. But then, of course, he changed it up before the end of regulation and overtime. change it up again. So we'll see how it works out. But I think Alvin's really got to keep experimenting, though, Preston, just to answer your question. But we've got to have Jaleel or Derek back there behind him and not Melly. I don't think that combination is going to work at all.
That was my favorite lineup, by the way. It recalled some of my favorite moments from the 2018-19 season. It was Drew Holiday, Frank Jackson, Josh Hart was inserted into that Drew crew. And then you had Kenny Hustle and Jaleel Okafor, just a bunch of try-hard guys who know how to play basketball. We talked about Lonzo Ball a little bit. Ali had some good stuff on him. J.J. Redick, I don't think we need to add much. 9 shots, 16 points. He was negative 14, but all the starters were deep into the negative. So I don't know how much we can attribute that to him in just 27 minutes. Let's talk about Drew Holiday, David Grubb. This is somebody who struggled tonight. He had some great standout defensive moments, but he had some lapses as well, especially late. Offensively, just not particularly effective. 6 of 15, 5 turnovers, just 13 points and 6 assists in 41 minutes. This is a guy who's been pushed as the MVP candidate, a guy who's being given permission to dominate. David, he did not do that tonight.
He was indecisive. He was sloppy. His passes were off target. His defense was inconsistent. Now, that's not what we've come to expect from Drew over the last 2 years. And as we talked about a lot amongst ourselves, Drew was doing a lot of the things that we saw when he was struggling on the verge, when people were doubting whether he should be re-signed. That's the kind of game he had tonight. I don't think that's indicative of how he'll be the entire season, but the whole point of having, you know, again, bringing Ball around and having Nickeil Alexander-Walker around was to allow Drew not to have to initiate so much. And it felt like he just didn't know when to score or when to pass or who to pass to. He left his feet a number of times without knowing where he was going to go with the ball. And that kind of indecisiveness out of your most experienced and most talented maybe he's not most talented, but you're the player that you expect the most from your leader. You can't win on the road against a team that's been tested when Drew's not playing his best. If he had been, this is a win for the Pelicans.
All right, Kevin, now we get to the fun stuff, and that is the Pelicans bench. Standout performances across the board. These guys came in and made a considerable difference right from the jump. The Pelicans faced a 19-2 run from the Toronto Raptors late in the first, and then the Pelicans inserted their bench guys. They pretty much did like a hockey switch somewhere around the four-minute mark in the first quarter. We had standout performances from Josh Hart. Kenny Hustle was his usual effective self, only had 3 points on the night, but was just everywhere, boxing out the right places, moving the ball, always in a position to make the right play. Nikola Melli, we've already touched on. Jaleel Okafor, Frank Jackson, as Ali mentioned. Nickeil Alexander-Walker was just 1 of 10, but still a positive 6 and looked super confident. Kevin, talk about your biggest takeaways from the bench performance tonight.
I mean, you got to talk about Josh Hart and Melli. Those guys have really been crucial in this game. I mean, I think they're going to be crucial the whole season, but especially Josh Hart. I mean, we've been super high on him here. I think, you know, he gives you everything you want in that wingman position where he can like swing between the two and the three. He's very versatile defensively. We saw him defending bigs, protecting the rim. We saw him switching on people. We saw him hitting open threes. We saw him driving and attacking. I think he's a great player, and we're very lucky to have him. And Melli, you know, I don't expect him. I think he missed a shot at the very end, right? But, I mean, other than that, did he have any other misses other than one? We can't expect him to shoot like that always, but just to have that guy with that threat that can get hot like that is great coming off the bench. You know, Nickeil Alexander-Walker didn't have a great shooting night, but I still liked what I saw from him. I mean, he took good shots for the most part, and he showed some of his playmaking. He did have one really bad pass into double coverage or whatever, but, you know, you can feel his energy and his effect on the court. And he's a rookie, and it's his first game in his hometown. So, you know, he's going to have, you can't trust him to have, a really, truly breakout performance. There's going to be jitters there. But yeah, I mean, the bench is solid. We've been saying that all year. It's the deepest Pelicans team we've ever seen. And we definitely saw that tonight.
Ollie, obviously the play of the bench is going to fluctuate specifically on the road. We already briefly touched about Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Obviously, he's going to get his minutes. Etuan Moore, as much as it pains me to say, was not particularly effective tonight. Just 2 of 7. Struggled to get his shot. The opponents from the Raptors side were playing him very tightly on the perimeter, and he's just not athletic enough or creative enough to be able to dribble penetrate pass guys on at the perimeter. So after that, Ali, you've got your 10-man rotation sewn up pretty well. Nicola Melli, Jahlil Okafor, Frank Jackson, Josh Hart, and Kenny Hustle. How are you feeling about this 10-man rotation?
Oh, you've got to feel good, because the way I look at it, who are the three best players on the court tonight from start to finish? It was all three Raptors, right? Pascal Siakam was fantastic before he fouled out. Fred Van Vliet was incredible. Not only couldn't he shoot the three ball, but my goodness, how many times do you get up right into the rim for easy scores, you know? And, of course, Kyle Lowry, he closed. I mean, I know he made just like around 4 shots, but he got himself to the free throw line consistently. Now, I know that David Grubb and I already talked about it. He kicked out his leg a few times, but you know what? If the officials are calling it, you do it. Because you look at what the Pelicans were able to muster, which was a whole lot of nothing down the stretch. So, despite all that, despite the fact that, like I said, three Raptors were basically the three best players on the court, the Pelicans had a chance to win this game. And the sole reason was because of that depth, where we saw them have incredible runs. You know, the starters came out of the gates playing really well. And then there was a couple times where a mixed group of reserves and the stars, you know, for the rest of the game had some really great runs. So we kind of see what the Pelicans are going to do this year. And remember, this was a very subpar performance from Drew. And we don't know what we're going to get out of Favors yet. So you have to be hopeful, Preston. I think you've got to take a lot of positives from this. Give credit where credit's due. Toronto, they've got that world championship experience. And you saw it. They took it to the Pelicans over the last like 6-7 minutes. As for the Pelicans, like I said, they couldn't run any good offense. Lonzo wasn't running the offense. And when Drew was, you know, the Pelicans just didn't get good shots. So that's all going to change. And that 10-man rotation, I'm going to say you've got to make it 11. I still think Nickeil Alexander-Walker is going to force his way in there. At whose expense, I'm not certain. But like I said, we saw it all through preseason. We saw it tonight. His shot just wasn't dropping.
Gambling. It's not the most prevalent of topics at the family barbecue, but the truth is, it can be quite fun. Picking a couple of friends to play some friendly wagers before a game can immediately raise the stakes and make your Sundays even more exhilarating. And that's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Football fans, you can even bet after kickoff. So if it looks like your bet is fading, just take the other side. If you like to bet a lot, try a parlay. You can multiply your winnings and brag to your friends as the money rolls in. But now is the best time to join, because MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, David. Ali talked about a bunch of positives. One of them was that it took three standout performances from the Raptors. They were the three best players in the game tonight. They had an 8-man rotation. Each member of their starters played 32 minutes or more. Lowry, Van Vliet, and Pascal Siakam, 38 minutes or more. Only three guys off the bench in Ibaka, Davis, and Norman Powell. And like he said, the Pelicans played 12 guys. Nobody played more than 30 minutes except for Drew Holiday and Brandon Ingram. So the Raptors were playing this game as if it was a playoff game. The Pelicans were playing this game as if it was experimental theater, which tells me that, David, quite possibly you saw tonight that the Pelicans were definitively the better team. They just gave it away.
I don't know if I would say definitively that the Pelicans are the better team. I think what you look at with Toronto is Toronto's a team that's also had a lot of changeover with their roster. So, I mean, that would be a big consideration for me. When you look at it, I mean, you look at their bench and they're just guys who just got there. And I think that for a guy like Nick Nurse, you're trying to win your game on ring night. You're not trying to be one of those teams that blows it on the night you have your ceremony. So I think he was coaching to win that game in particular. But, you know, the thing is, and the guys on the TNT said it, you know, stars win games. And the top three guys for the Raptors got 30 free throw attempts. The Pelicans as a team got 20. So that, you know, that to me is far bigger than saying, well, you know, the Pelicans are talented. It doesn't matter. The Raptors beat them at the basics. And that's what you do when you have really good players And Siakam is going to be a star. Lowry's an all-star. And Van Vliet looks like he's on his way to being one of the top, you know, young guards in this league too. So I don't know if I could say the Pelicans are the more talented team. They're deeper. They're more well-rounded right now. But that top three showed you why they're the top three on the Raptors.
All right, Kevin, we're going to wrap up soon. Before we do that, I want to go ahead and preview the Dallas Mavericks, the Pelicans' home opener on Friday night. Kristaps Porzingis, Luka Doncic. Obviously, it'll be great to have these guys back home. Based on what you've seen so far, what are you expecting in the Smoothie King Center on Friday?
I mean, I expect a little bit of the same, you know, experimenting with the lineup, trying to figure out who's playing well together because, you know, like we've said all offseason, it's so many new faces and then also now an injury and then a guy playing with an injury puts ripples in the system. So you got to navigate and it's going to take a little while for Alvin Gentry to probably figure this out. Good news is I think, you know, coming home, playing in front of your home crowd is going to help. And then also I think Toronto is, even though, you know, I think Doncic and Porzingis are great players, I think overall Toronto is a better team right now. So being able to put up that fight on an emotional night, like ring night, as David was saying, with highly motivated team out there. I think it bodes well for the kind of performance we'll see, but I'm not saying it's going to be a win. I'm just saying it's going to, you know, we're going to definitely be in it. And I think we're going to be in most games, most nights.
All right, Ollie, we're going to go ahead and wrap up now. Thank you guys so much for hopping right in. It's almost my bedtime, 11:30 Eastern time. Ollie, we got a game coming up on Friday. Of course, you guys can follow him at Ollie Cosell. He's been killing himself this week. I think he wrote three articles in the past 2 days. Ollie, obviously, it's an exciting time. We're anticipating a big showing against the Dallas Mavericks, hopefully a sellout. Talk about some positives away from this game again and give us a prediction for Friday night.
Well, yeah, I've already touched on what I saw from this game, and I think it's going to carry over and then some. They're going to get in front of the home crowd. They've got a couple of off days to where they're going to be able to look at film. You know, kind of they got their first game out of the way, and you really saw that with a lot of guys, you know, especially Nikhil Alexander-Walker and a few others. Lonzo Ball shooting one-legged threes. I think the coaching staff's going to point out all these things that shouldn't happen in the game, so they'll clean up their act because we didn't really see it in preseason, right? These guys played a lot more mature than you would have expected. And of course we get come to this first game and it was mistakes galore. So I think we're going to be in for a good game on Friday, and being at home, I think that they should be able to beat what everybody predicts to be is a pretty similar team to the Pelicans in terms of a win-loss record. You know, they're led by Luka Doncic, who had a heck of a preseason, averaging almost like 20 and 10 and also like 5 assists. Kristaps Porzingis looked good. Everybody says, I didn't get to watch any Dallas. I don't know if you guys did, but I just read about it. So they look like they've got their two stars, and they've got some guys around and role players like Tim Hardaway Jr., Maxi Kleber, you know. So, you know, they're going to do well under Carlisle. It's going to be a stiff test like Dallas always is. But, again, I'm going to favor our talent. I think they're going to clean it up. And I'm going to go ahead and predict a win now.
Nice. David, I'm just noticing that Lonzo Ball is trending on Twitter with 25,000 tweets, even though he had 8 points in 25 minutes. So I guess we should talk more about Lonzo Ball in the future. You guys can follow him at DM Grub. He's probably going to wrap up this game again tomorrow on 1280 AM, Hard in the Paint. Who are your guests in the morning, David?
Ollie. Ollie's sitting there with me for an hour. And we're going to go all through this thing. And and I'm sure we're going to get a lot of feedback too. And, you know, I don't want people to overreact. And I think sometimes people take, you know, your reactions in the middle of a game as a referendum on how you feel about a team. And that's just not the case at all. You just hate to see a team give away a win that you felt like they could have stolen. And in this schedule, you know, the first 20 games we've talked about over and over again, there are going to be precious few opportunities to steal wins on the road against good teams. And they had that tonight. So I think, you know, when you come back Friday, yes, the emotions will be high. The crowd, it will be a sellout. I guarantee that. I think that there will be the fan base is going to be electrified. But the question is going to be the same thing. Yes, Pelicans have probably more talent up and down, but Dallas is very long. So you're going to have to rebound. And Dallas has shooters. You're going to have to defend the three-point line. And those are the things that they struggled with tonight at clutch moments. So I think that if they can make that adjustment, find a way to gang rebound better and chase people off the three-point line, I think we'll get a better result on Friday.
And they certainly lived up to the name tonight. Won't bow down, won't back down, whatever it is. They showed tremendous fight throughout, tremendous effort throughout, just like we saw with the Drew Crew last year. Certainly encouraging to see. And like you guys, we're going to continue watching these games. We're going to continue assessing the play of guys like Lonzo Ball, Derek Favors, Drew Holiday, guys that we anticipate are not going to continue to struggle. We're just taking away some initial impressions of tonight. Again, you guys, we came right after this game. So if you like what you're hearing, do us a solid. Retweet, share, rate it on iTunes, tell your friends about us. Anything you can do really helps. And Kevin, before we go, tell our listeners about Blue Chew.
Okay. Well, you want me to go back into that my last pitch on that you know, we just watched some Gentry Ball where you have to be prepared because sometimes a rebound will bounce right into your hands. You want to take that, you want to get up, and you want to have the whole team finish.
I'm not asking you next time.
I thought he did great. Way to put him on a spot, Preston. We should turn around on you like that.
Oh, well, I have something I can actually read, so that's an unfair advantage.
I can do it. I can do it.
David, why don't you tell our listeners why they should choose MyBookie for their gambling purposes?
Well, you should choose MyBookie for your gambling purposes because they won't show up at your home and break your thumbs. They're on the internet. They can take your money, but not your life. There you go.
They took mine tonight, I'll tell you that.
Oh, fair Kevin, enough. You lost big, huh?
No, I mean, I just made a bunch of stupid little bets today. I did all my, like, postseason bets, but I also took the money line on the Pelicans tonight, which was looking good, and I did not finish that one. But, you know, maybe the Clippers will help us out here. I didn't know Drew was going to wear his Mitchell and Ness throwback jersey from the boogie year when he couldn't figure out what he was supposed to do. If I'd have known that ahead of time, I would have, bet on the Raptors.
So even if you lost some good money, at least you got some good humor to take away from it. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you again soon, probably Friday night, unless you guys want to do one either tomorrow, Thursday, or Friday morning. Otherwise, we'll talk to you guys soon. Let's dance. Let's go, pals. Thank you for listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today.